I do have kind of a long introduction into the text, so let us begin with prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be opened and attuned to you, to thy Spirit, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, you probably have heard a lot about Abraham. You know, Father Abraham, the patriarch of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, but probably not so much about Lot, his nephew who went with him from the word go. And you've probably heard about the angels who came to tell Abraham and Sarah the miraculous news that she would be having a baby as promised after all these years. I'll bet you've heard about Sodom and Gomorrah and their dramatic destruction, but you may not have realized that these two events, these two inscrutable intrusions, as Walter Brueggemann calls them, these two inscrutable intrusions by God happened on the same day, and the very same busy angels accomplished both of them. They are intended to be twin stories, mirror images. Today's story is bright, hot, personal, quiet. It speaks of beginnings, birth, and a miracle so bright we should have issued sunglasses for everyone at the door. Next week's story is dark, fiery, and loud. It is about endings and death, massive death, and tells the violent story of God's judgment and destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Crash helmets and night goggles might be more in order next week. But both stories amaze me in their ability to shimmer with power and truth about how God does ultimately fulfill God's promise to bless and redeem us all. So today and next week, we will look at each of these stories in turn. Today, we begin with the miracle of Mamre. I will lead us into this text by way of a story about our beloved golden retriever named Daisy. She was not the dark auburn kind of golden retriever you may be picturing. She was blonde, very blonde, and true to her breed, extremely lovable and loving. One summer, our vacation and study leaves caused our home to be empty of her people for two long stretches, almost back to back. We had dog sitters to come feed and walk her, young women she knows and loves. However, toward the end of the second two-week stretch, our dog sitters noticed that each day she got droopier and droopier. Daisy actually started to cry, in the way that dogs do, when she got ready to leave the house the last few days of our absence. She said it seemed as if Daisy had decided that this was simply how her life was going to be from this time forward, so she was settling in. Not to put words in a dog's mouth, but here I go. Oh, well, this is my life now. Just really boring, long, lonely days, but hey, better get used to it. This is my new normal. Time to settle in for the long haul. It's hard to imagine the thoughts inside of Abraham that day in Mamre, now 100 years old, and Sarah, 90 years old. It was 25 long years since God had called them forth from Haran to make of them a great nation through which all families would be blessed. God had promised them offspring as numerous as the stars, but in reality, since Sarah had not been able to have a child, they had decided to have a surrogate son born to their servant Hagar. Ishmael, son of Hagar and Abraham, seemed to be the one. Abram had a son. They were more or less set. Sarah's barrenness was her eternal condition, as you can imagine, at the age of 90. As the Bible says, it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Indeed, her childbearing years were long over. So I'm guessing that their state of mind may have been a little bit like our dog Daisy at the end of our vacation. This is it. Settle in. We didn't get that message from God just quite right. But on that bright, sunny day when our story takes place, everything changes. Not dramatically or loudly. There was actually a lot of silence in this story. At the same time, our narrator provides vivid detail, zooming in the camera so close we can see the scene, we can smell the bread, and we can even hear the inner thoughts of Sarah. So I invite you now to follow the reading along in your bulletin as we take a moment to observe together the turns of this marvelously told tale. Then we will look between the lines to discover the miracle of Mamre for the people of Israel and for us here today. So here it is, beginning with verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And then let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it and make cakes." And then Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I've grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, no, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." Then the men set out from there, and they looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to set them on their way. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. As you see, the first verse sets the scene and mood vividly. The Lord appeared to Abraham. The narrator wants us to know from the word go that a divine visitation to Abraham is about to happen. But Abraham does not know this yet. By the oaks of Mamre is also a signal. God has spoken to Abraham under oak trees before. Next, we are told what time? In the heat of the day. What's important about that? The light is bright literally, but here also is a signal that we are about to see God in action, God in the midst of our lives, God in the heat of action. For Abraham, in the actual story, he's sitting near the entrance of his tent, trying to get a little relief from that blazing heat. I kind of picture him half awake and half asleep when these men appear before him. So what does he do when he sees these three men? He doesn't call his wife Sarah or one of their servants to go answer the door. He runs over to them and bowed to the ground and begged them to stay for resting, bathing, and food. They readily agree, and Abraham literally jumps into action, running and ordering Sarah and a servant to bring out their best, yeast bread, not just unleavened bread, and a prize calf, not just some old cow they were planning to slaughter anyway, and told both Sarah and the servant to fly into action on the double. I don't know about you, but I get out of breath just reading this part of the story. All this activity in the heat of the day, running, kneading, slaughtering, milking, roasting, serving, eating. But all the while, there is no talking beyond the arranging of this hospitality until they have taken their meal, with Abraham not joining in them in the feast, but just standing by. The narrator wants us to notice this extraordinary display of hospitality, even by Bedouin culture standards of the day. After they have eaten comes the one question the visitors initiate. Where is your wife, Sarah? The moment has come for the announcement, the reason for their heat of the day under the oak's mystical visitation, and here it is. I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son. At this shocking, preposterous declaration, Sarah laughs to herself, except that we all hear it, and so do the visitors. We'll never know what all went on in Sarah's mind that caused her to spontaneously laugh to herself. But the visitors respond with a question that still takes my breath away with its possibility and its promise. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? The answer, of course, is no. Nothing is too wonderful or too hard for God. And we, on this side of Easter, know what Sarah could not. That this is going to be the first of a series of impossible births that would bring forth the continuation of God's promise, culminating with Mary giving birth to Jesus. But for now, Sarah gets embarrassed and defensive, saying, "Oh, no, I didn't laugh." And the visitors, stepping out of the role of gracious guests, retorting, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." This story ends as it began, laced with lavish hospitality from the beginning when Abraham jumps up to greet them to the end. As we are told, Abraham walks the visitors down the road, pointing them on their way towards Sodom. So, what was the miracle of Mamre? The immediate storyline miracle, of course, was the birth of Isaac, whose name means to laugh. For those of you currently in the business of raising grandchildren, perhaps Abraham and Sarah actually raising the infant toddler and young boy Isaac at the age of 90 and 100 was an even bigger miracle than the birth itself. Yet here's the largest miracle, the one that can make us laugh sometimes with disbelief and sometimes with irony, especially when it seems like we're out of options and doors keep closing. Especially when we've given up all hope and just hunkered down, no longer expecting breakthroughs, as we might have when we were younger. The miracle of Mamre is this. Nothing is too wonderful or too impossible for God to accomplish. Okay, great. But what does this really mean for us today? How can the miracle of Mamre shine light and hope on the burdens weighing heavily on us right now, us as individuals, as families, as a community, as a nation, as a world? How can that miracle of Mamre point the way forward for hard decisions we may be facing this day? Well, first, I want to be clear about what this miracle doesn't mean. This doesn't mean that God will give us whatever we want whenever we ask for it. God's timing, God's ways are not our ways. Now, we know that, of course. But this story is a perfect check on that fantasy. God is not Santa Claus nor a divine ATM machine, and rarely does God do things according to our timetable. Have you noticed that? God will do the impossible to bring about God's divine purposes through us. That is something quite different than getting everything we think we want when we want it. Nor does this mean that once we are given that big and wonderful life-changing gift, such as the woman of our dreams, the job of a lifetime, the second chance we never thought we'd get, that then we live happily ever after. Let's be honest, that only happens in movies and fairy tales. And the story of Abraham and Sarah is a prime example. When Isaac is only a young boy, God demands that Abraham take this miracle baby to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. What? Nobody is laughing in that story. That is another story for another sermon or 10 sermons. But life definitely did not all of a sudden fall into place for Abraham and Sarah after the miracle of Mamre. That is not how a Mamre miracle works. Okay, here's what it does mean. It does mean that God will stay with us, work with us, through us, in spite of our imperfections and missteps. Even in this very ancient story, we see real people with real problems. Abraham and Sarah were not perfect. Yes, they went when God said go, but they didn't go exactly how and where God intended them to go. They got scared, defensive, and impatient. Sarah was mean to Hagar. And Abraham got overwhelmed by the contentious women in his house. Yet God stayed with them and worked with them and through them, bringing new life from death again and again. It also means that God can and will deliver Mamre miracles in our lives, even in the heat of the day, even when we least expect it, even when we think we're all done and settled in, and even despite our less than faithful, to put it nicely, decisions and missteps. As we lament the threat to truth in public discourse, integrity in our electoral system, equality for all of God's children, I pray that this story rekindles our hope and faith in our Easter God, our God who brings life, especially out of death. But now this is where we come in, because it also means that we are called to shine the light of the Mamre miracle in our own lives and in our life together as a faith community called FPC. The two wonderful will come from us. God is waiting. Well, Bob and I did eventually come home that summer. Our dog Daisy's happy life resumed just when she appeared to have given up all hope. But what about you and me? What is weighing on your heart this morning? Are you confused by God's timing or God's apparent silence or God's closed door? Have things not turned out the way you hoped or expected? Maybe your relationship with God, with Christ, has hardened down into a predictable pattern that yields little fulfillment, joy, or challenge. Take a page from Abraham's book. Be ready to entertain strangers and strange ideas when they appear before you. Strange new possibilities that perhaps never occurred to you before. They could be a message from God. Notice the people and situations that God places in your life, both with strangers and with the people you know best. They can surprise you too. Do what you can to be more hospitable to God in whatever form God may choose to appear to you. Truly, a new beginning may be just around the corner.